This podcast
is Entel Enhanced.
Hi, I'm Anshul, YouTuber, Instagrammer, and a real voice for the brown girls. Join me and some very special guests where we discuss taboo subjects and really give the aunties something to talk about. Thanks to Entel for supporting this podcast. Entel is an interactive podcasting app where you can interact with the things we're talking about. We think it's the best way to listen to our show, so please do check it out. Welcome to my first ever episode where we'll be talking about marriage pressure and toxic family members. And honestly, we could have talked all day. We spoke about if there is a right time to get married, why the aunties think marriage is important, expectations of who to marry, and setting boundaries, plus so much more. Trust me, it is jam-packed. Joining me are my very special guests and power couple, Koshal and Vex King. I've known Koshal for basically my whole YouTube career, so it feels super special to have her join me on my first episode. And of course, welcome her husband Vex, who has inspired myself and many others with his kindness and wisdom. Get cozy with a cup of tea and some snacks and enjoy the conversation. Hey guys, I have Koshal and Vex here today with me. How are you?
We're good. We're good.
Yeah, really good.
Excited to finally make this happen.
I know.
Lockdown can't stop us.
No, not at all. I'm so happy to have you guys here. First of all, I just want you guys to tell everyone a bit about yourselves separately. And yeah, let them know what you do, who you are.
So my name's Koshal. I have been, I suppose, like doing like makeup videos for like 6 years now on YouTube and Instagram and all of that. And I'm just like a normal person who could, like, I say this to everyone, I could be living next door to you, you wouldn't even know.
No.
<it.
laughs> I love that.
But I'm obsessed with makeup, skincare, like beauty stuff in general, cooking. I feel like the older that I've gotten, I've got like so many more interests, but I feel like that is me in a nutshell. I mean, my nutshell's pretty huge. I can go on for ages, but I'm going to keep it.
It's a great nutshell. I love it.
I think, yeah, sums you up well.
Thanks.
Oh, for me, what can I say? When I introduce myself, I'm always told to like give a bit of clarity. So I say, oh, I'm a mind coach, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. But I like to just say that I'm a guy that tries to make people feel good.
Yeah.
Make the world a better place to live in. Yeah. So that pretty much sums me up.
You definitely do that.
Oh, thank you.
You do.
I try.
Yeah. Okay. How did you guys meet?
Oh my God. So like... It's so weird, right? Because people either think that we've been together for like the shortest amount of time.
Really?
A lot of people think that we got together after like both of our careers. Like we kind of like met on the internet.
Right.
Oh God, when she first started YouTube and like her follower base started growing, people start messaging me saying you're only with her because of us.
Because of her YouTube. And it's like, wait, but we've known each other for years before this. So we are from the same hometown.
Yeah.
And I always knew about you and you always knew about me. And we never, our paths never crossed.
That is
until the timing was right.
So weird.
And it was meant to be.
It's like a Bollywood movie now.
I mean, that it could be a thing.
Yeah, we were actually in a club.
Yeah, our local club.
Love it.
I mean,
it's funny because we were in the smoking area and neither of us smoked.
You just need some air, but that's probably not the best place to get it because you're just breathing in that smoke.
Yeah. So you're trying to kind of get rid of it. Yeah. And then you came up to me, right?
Yeah.
And
I was like,
go on, girl.
You're so-and-so, aren't you? And he was like, yeah, you're so-and-so.
So like, and we knew of each other.
Right.
I'd known about her for a while. I remember like MySpace days. I used to be on MySpace.
Wow.
And I saw her profile and I was about to click add. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to. And then I found out.
I think you were the only person who never added me on like.
Yeah, I was going to add and I was just like, no, that's just, I don't
know.
You
know, like, we're from a really small town, right?
Yeah,
so like everyone, I mean, even if you've never met the person, if they're from your small town, you are friends with them electronically.
Right, yeah. Right.
You were the only person that was never my friend.
And then I did ask someone about you.
Thanks.
But you were with someone at the time as well.
Yeah.
So then I thought, like, you know, I'm not going to try and come in and be like, oh.
Okay, you're smart. You're smart. You're not trying to step on any toes here.
Yeah, I'm not trying to step on any toes. And I didn't really know her. I knew she was an attractive girl. I didn't know about her.
Was?
No, because you're even more attractive.
Bex, you're about to dig yourself a deep grave here.
I'm getting myself out of that hole.
I'm just being annoying. I'm being that annoying wife.
She does this every day.
Yeah.
When he goes, oh, yeah, so if he's talking to someone, he's like, oh, yeah, my dog. And I'm like, your dog?
Yeah.
What do you mean, your dog?
Our dog.
Right.
Our dog. But, yeah, then we just got talking, I think.
It was one of those, like, you know, those moments of, like, when you speak to someone, whether it's, like, your best friend or whether it's your partner or whoever it may be, but you feel like you've known this person for ages.
That instant kind of connection where you could just tell them anything and feel really comfortable.
And we have those similarities as well in weird ways. Like, not even weird ways, in, like just life ways.
Yeah.
We're both on this, like, positive thinking kind of vibe.
We'd both been through a lot
and we were trying to change our lives and we both connected with this this thing called PMA, which is having a positive mental attitude to change your life.
Okay.
And we were just on the same kind of path, I think. Shared similar beliefs.
Yeah.
And we were speaking on MSN, have you mentioned
love
before,
it
for, like, ages, until, like, the birds would start, like, chirping in the morning.
We always used to say it'd be like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it would be like, we'd wait for whoever says it first, like, can you hear the birds tweet you?
Yeah. Oh my god.
And this was like every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every single day, talking till at least 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on MSN.
This is how you know you like someone, when your sleeping pattern gets messed up.
Yeah.
You don't care what time you're going to sleep. You don't care if the sun is coming out. You're speaking. It does not matter.
As soon as she came online, you'd, like, I'd appear offline and then just, like, speak to her, and I think she'd do the same thing.
It was those tactics back then.
I love that. How long, like, in years, how long have you actually been together, and how long have you actually been married?
Okay, so we've been together. So we've been dating for 11 years.
Wow.
And married for 2 years.
Lovely. Love that.
Double digits.
Yeah, which is strange to a lot of people, because they're like, wow, you've been together for 11 years but only married for 2 years. I thought you'd get married, like, right away almost, or at least after, like, a few years.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we just chose to take our time.
Did you guys ever personally have an age you wanted to be married by, or did it not matter?
Oh my God. Growing up, it was like, right, so I'm going to finish university and then I'm going to get married by 24, 25, and then I want to have all my kids before I'm 30.
Right.
Yeah. That was my like timeline. Like, I had to be married before 25. My brother got married really young as well. So, like, it was just kind of like this thing. And it's almost like that pressure in society of, like, right, you've gone to school, you've done college or university, you then need to find your partner. It's like this road that's mapped out for you you at a certain age think you have to go down.
Exactly. And what do you think brought that on? Is it just society? Do you feel like it's culture? Do you feel like anyone said anything to you?
I think there's, like, loads of factors to it, but I think you are, from a young age, conditioned to believe that a good life looks like a certain timeline. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, go to school, then go into further education, then go into university, get a degree. Like, this is the only path, apparently, to success.
Right. Yeah.
And then after the degree, get a nice job, maybe buy a house, especially for a man, buy the house, then get married, then have kids, and just keep ticking boxes. And I think you're almost told, like, you know, these are the milestones. And you have certain ages by when they should be fulfilled. And that's what success almost looks like. So if you're not following that timeline, then suddenly you're not successful and you feel like a failure. So if you're not married by a certain age, you're like, oh, well, I'm a failure. Or I haven't got a house by a certain age. Oh, I'm a failure.
Right.
So then you've got all this pressure. And then as you're growing older, I know women get it more than men.
Definitely.
You know, you're like, oh, why are you single? Why are you not married? Or when are you getting married? And then suddenly you're almost forced into marriage.
Yeah. I think from a woman's perspective on this, I feel like a lot of it does have to do with society. Mm-hmm. It does have a lot, unfortunately, to do with the aunties or the uncles. Well, mainly the aunties, not really the uncles, I don't think. But the aunties kind of going, oh, when is it your turn?
Right.
Like, I mean, even now we get it with about our next stages. Like, when is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? But like, it was a very much so kind of thing. Like, I'd go to weddings with my mom, or I'd go to like different events or whatever. And people would ask me, oh, when are you getting married then? It was like, that was the only conversation that people would have.
Yeah.
Especially if you're done with university. If you're still at university, it was kind of like, oh, so what are you studying?
Yeah.
It was that question. And then as soon as that,
they'd still say, what are you studying? Have you met anyone?
Yeah.
You know, that are kind of prepping you to get to that next stage. Cause you know, you're kind of old enough to be in a relationship now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I kind of have to think of myself as like, I can't really blame the aunties for thinking like that. I can't really blame
everything is generational.
Yeah.
So it's like belief systems that are passed down and they get imposed on every single person. So you believe that what you're told is the right path or the right thing to follow. Mm. So we can't necessarily blame the kind of older generations, but we can pause and say, right, are we actually doing what we think is right, or are we following someone else's path? But if you're following someone else's path, that's not your path, that's their path.
Yeah,
right.
So then you have to think, right, let me think for myself and do what I want to do, not what other people want me to do.
Right.
And I think we are kind of awakening to that as a society, and people are starting to think, wait, I don't have to get married by this age. I don't have to go to university if I don't want to, especially if I'm not an academic.
Right.
Maybe I'm putting my hands, or maybe I've got a creative passion where I don't need to go to university to get a degree to do that particular thing as a career.
Right.
So I think right now a lot of people are asking the right questions, and then we're finding those kind of answers and following our kind of the path that we want to follow.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I feel like I really struggled with this growing up, because all of my siblings, I'm like one out of four, and there's so many of us, I have to remember. I'm one out of four, and all of them are really academic. And growing up, I kind of wasn't. I was just more creative, as you could probably tell. And I just felt the pressure, like, oh my God, I need to go to college, I need to do A-levels. And I was always behind, and my brother is a year younger than me, and I was kind of doing everything on his timing. And then it always made me feel really shit, because I was just, and I actually always say it now, like, oh, you know, I always do everything behind you. Like, I'm always, and like, he just got married as well, and he's younger than me. So I'm like, oh, there he goes, doing another step before me again. Yeah. And I'm like, oh God. And yeah, I really feel that pressure to have things done by a certain time. And obviously where I'm 28, turning 29 this year, I'm like, oh my God, I need to get married.
You know what? It's quite an important point you made here. I've noticed this a lot, is that a lot of the time your choices or other people's choices, right? For example, so your choices might reflect on your whole family. So then you suddenly feel a pressure to do something. But also your brother getting married before you, then you suddenly feel like that reflects on you. Like, what are people going to think about me? Like, oh my God, definitely, I can't find someone, right?
Yeah.
And it's sad that, because then we start challenging ourselves and start thinking, are we doing stuff that truly makes us happy, or are we doing stuff that makes us feel accepted? And right. I feel like for generations, that's what we've been doing. We've been following paths just to feel accepted, not necessarily happy. So I know we shouldn't feel like that, but I think a lot of us do. And it's just a natural way of kind of living at the moment, especially within our kind of communities and culture.
Yeah. And I do think that things are changing, which is great.
Yeah.
I've got a mix in my family. I've got aunties, like my dad's cousins, who are not married.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we've got, I mean, they've kind of been through it on their end. And then when I look at my cousins now, there's like 8-10 of us, and we've got very, surprisingly, very small family for an Indian family. About half of us are married, and half of us aren't married. I feel like that's the case with your family as well, right? I mean, I suppose you've got maybe more of your cousins married. But I feel like things are changing, and I think it's a good move.
Yeah, definitely.
One of my cousins is like, I'm not interested in getting married. Like, end of. Like, even if I find a partner, I'll live with him or her.
I think it's fair, right? Don't want to get married,
it's fine.
Don't get married.
Yeah, like, good for her. Like, and you should be able to make that choice without being judged, or everyone you walk into an event and everyone's looking at you like the unmarried one. Do you know what I mean?
I think with us, like, we wanted to get married, we wanted to take that step, and it felt very natural. And that's why, you know, like, people say, oh, Vex, you longed it out
Yeah, they all say yeah.
I did.
Love
but
it.
We were but you know, it was after 7 years I think I proposed, yeah. right? Yeah. But you know, we did it when we felt was right.
Yeah. And so, that's how it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how it should be. And some people might not want to get married now, and they might find someone and then think, I do want to get married. And if they don't want to get married, that's up to them. It's their life. Like, we seem to hold so much concern about other people's lives, but do we actually truly care about their well-being, or do we just care about what's right in our heads?
Right. And right. because they're not kind of following what they're supposed to. Do you know what I mean?
And then suddenly we're like, right, they're not following that, so something's wrong with them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's how it feels sometimes, because, yeah, I definitely can relate to that. How big of a problem do you think this issue of being married is within Indian culture?
I actually think, like, although there are changes, I know from my Instagram DMs that I get a lot from young Asian women, and they struggle with this a lot because there's A, that they see their friends around them getting married.
Oh, that's right? That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
I'm seeing my cousins and that get married before me. And two of my cousins got married before me who are younger than me.
Right.
I mean, that's when we weren't engaged or anything. And I was like, holy moly. it was a bit of a, like, you almost do start second guessing yourself and thinking like, oh, like, should I be getting married? Am I not supposed to be getting married?
Am I not good enough? Am I not? Marriage material, you might, all these questions might go through your head, and you might start comparing yourself against them.
Yeah.
But then also your parents or the aunties and uncles might start comparing you against them.
Definitely, because they're thinking, oh, you know, they've only been together in their relationship for 2-3 years, and Kosha and Vex have been together for 7 years, and they're not married yet. Like, you know,
what's happening?
Yeah, is there something wrong? Or no, they're just getting on with it and they're happy. Like, why can't it just be that?
We tend to be like the biggest critics in our lives because, you know, we tend to like put ourselves down a lot, but then it doesn't help when you've got people around you as well trying to put you down because of your choices or the things that haven't happened yet. And I think it is extremely tough. But I think people, like, that's why I think we need that kind of positivity. We need to hold these conversations that, you know, you're holding, so people are aware and they don't feel bad for not following the timeline that's often sold to us.
Yeah, exactly.
And they say about time, isn't it? Like, what is time? Like, time's an illusion. Time's been like,
it's just a man-made construct, right? To measure
moments. Yeah, to measure moments or to measure your success.
Yeah.
Or to measure,
but
you know,
success doesn't come with a timeline.
No.
And I think, I mean, I've learned that because I'm going to say it again, like, I've done things slower than everyone else, but I mean, we're speaking about time. Is it slow?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. But I do feel like I've done things slower and I'm doing things, whatever, at my pace, but it doesn't make me like less happy. I'm still happy with my life and what I'm doing.
And that's the most important thing, right? Because we think about all this other stuff, but what's the most important thing in life is just to be happy. And if you're happy, then all the other stuff doesn't really matter. What you do is you find someone that kind of adds to that happiness or supports your happiness. And I think that's the most important thing. I think it's not about finding someone that completes you. I think it's about being complete yourself and then finding someone that helps you kind of
elevate.
Yeah, exactly. But why do you think there's so much pressure to get married within our culture?
Oh, bloody hell. Do you know what? I say this, right, to my mum. I have this conversation with my mum all the time.
Yeah.
So you got married, you had kids, you then got your kids older, and then your worry was to get your kids married, and then your worry was, are my kids settled now? Have they got a house? Are they all sorted? Are they? It's like a constant, like, they're taught a constant, like, cycle of worries.
Like,
this happened, has that happened? So then that does rub off onto you, I think.
I think,
like, have I done this? Have I ticked that off? Have it, like, I think feel like there's that pressure from, like, the 360 pressure from, like, your family, your culture, your society, like, people around you, your friends might be getting married or that, like, it's not just a one directional thing, is it? It comes in all.
It must stem, you know, from the past and from fear. I think everything comes from fear. And I think it, you know, must be like, you have to find someone to A, be happy and also kind of be successful in life. And I think that was the kind of image that was sold. So now it's like people are just telling you what to do, but they're not really questioning why they're telling you what to do.
Definitely. And I think for them, maybe in their generation, it maybe felt like their life started once they're married. And and the reason why I feel that way is because even when I want to do certain things, or say, let's, for example, say I want to get a tattoo, and I'm like, I want to get a tattoo, Mum. Do it once you're married. Do it after you're married.
Oh my God, do you know my Tupac is here now? Mum and Dad, they said, absolutely not, you're not getting a pet. So I started off with a dog, then I went to a cat, and then I went to a guinea pig, and then I like it getting smaller. He even said no to a stick insect.
What?
I wanted a stick insect to the pet, and he even said no to that. So it is that matter of, oh, do it when you get married. So it, I totally get you what you mean about that's when your life starts.
Yeah. Like, oh, I want, when I was like 17, you know, when you just want to go on like a girl's holiday, like to, I don't know, like a party. Yeah, you know, one of them ones. And you're just like, oh, I want to go. And they're like, no, you can do that stuff once you're married. Once I'm married, no. Like, why do I have to do everything after I'm married? Like, can I not have a life before then?
Yeah, I know, like, it's, and I felt like as well, maybe a lot of the time, you know, people were, might have not had like an education or something, and they relied on a husband, and I'm not saying this is the right way, but they might have relied on a husband to kind of bring their life forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, because men are told to be the breadwinners, again, you know, this is all generational stuff, that men are the breadwinners, so they're going to almost carry you forward in life, and that's why your life will begin when the man helps you. But you know, right now we've got so many strong independent women.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that are doing their thing, and you know, rightly so.
Yeah, damn right. I love that. I'm like, yes, the independent women.
I think one more thing that I wanted to say actually was the point that I was trying to make earlier about like, let's say your mum, for example, like my mum, it was kind of like she had this to-do list of like, so that all of her worries have gone. She's like, and she even says it now, she says it in Gujarat. She's like, oh, I'm done now, I can chill out, and I can relax, my kids are all settled, and I'm done.
Yes.
Like, so it's almost like they've got that pressure because they want to make sure their kids are settled. That's always the word, oh, they're nice and settled now.
Yes.
Why can't you not be settled by yourself?
But I also do feel that they're never completely settled, because once you've got maybe the house, the marriage thing down and everything else, it's just like, when are the kids coming?
Yeah.
Right. And then maybe when the kids come in, when are you going to do this? Or when are you going to do this? Or why don't you do this? So there's always the next thing.
Yeah. It's almost like a never ending list in that sense.
And also they're placing their happiness in us, basically.
Yeah.
Which is very sweet. Yeah, of them.
Very sweet. And I say this to the moms all the time. I'm like, you guys need to live your life.
Yes.
Live your life.
Go on holidays. Like, you know, sometimes a lot of parents as well, like they'll save up, and if they're fortunate enough to be able to save up, they'll save up for this rainy day. But I'm like, you know, you're waiting for something bad to happen to like, use your savings. Go and enjoy your life.
Live your life.
You deserve it. You worked hard.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to go back to your point that you made about, you know, like feeling settled once their kids are settled. And I completely get that, because my parents, I don't think they want to retire until I am married. And exactly. That's...
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of pressure that is? Because I'm like, you guys are above 60. Like, you can retire. You should retire. You've worked your asses off all your lives. Mm-hmm. And now you're not going to retire. That is pressure. I'm like, no. Like, do it. Like, no, we can't until once you're settled. Once it's like, okay, well, that's not happening anytime soon.
You'll hear them have conversations with other family friends that they have. You know, my kids are settled now. I've got nothing to worry about.
Right.
You didn't have anything to worry about from the beginning.
The whole time.
Exactly. You're just putting extra pressure on yourself.
I feel like, especially Asian mums, I feel like they worry all the time.
Yeah, they do.
Anything and everything, yeah. Especially when it's got something to do with their kids.
100%. It's just a mum thing, I guess.
They live, their purpose is in their kids, I think. And it's such a nice thing. Do you know what I mean? It's such a loving way to live life. Like, all my purpose is in my kids. But at the same time, you know, as you grow older, you're like, guys, like, be happy.
Yeah. Let go a little bit as well.
Be happy. I'll be fine. Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
Right? You guys be happy.
Yeah, exactly. But I just want to go back to your relationship for a minute. So you guys were dating for a while, as you said, but was there ever a time you felt like you had to keep your relationship a secret or private, like maybe in the early days?
We did actually, because initially we wanted to tell the whole world about our relationship.
As you do when you're in love.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're happy, you're in love, and, you know, you want to celebrate it. And then you get to social media and you post like snippets, and then you start realizing not everyone's sharing that same happiness for you. And then obviously Koshal's career kind of took off on social media, and I took a back step off social media. And I thought, you know what, it's good that if people know kind of us, but they don't need to know everything about us. They don't need to know the ins and outs of our relationships. So it wasn't until a while that you actually like formally kind of introduced me.
Yeah, it was very, I used to like make comments of like, oh, the boy.
Yeah.
Oh, the boyf.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really, even now, we never really are that couple to share everything.
No.
I personally quite like that, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, for example, on Instagram, you know, a relationship post is going to do well, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking for gratification, you know.
Actually, I don't know, because I've never done it.
from our experience, you know, like relationship goals and all this stuff. But for me, especially on my feed, like, I don't post pictures of myself, right? And I'll do it every now and again. It'll just be of me and her. But I like to... Yeah. Like post inspiration. I like to be very real and authentic about our journey, and you know, I'd only post stuff if it has some kind of purpose, not
like
just
value.
Not just for the sake of getting
not
likes
just
and
for
comments.
The gram.
Yeah,
for the gram.
So we do still keep it minimal, and we have our boundaries.
Yeah,
we share online, but you know, we have started sharing much more than we used to. But we do it because we want to kind of spread that authenticity when it comes to relationships and talk about these subjects, about marriage, and you know, like why maybe we took our time, and you know, that we don't follow the traditional path, and there's nothing wrong with it. Well, not in our eyes anyway. So when we're sharing stuff, we're doing it to add value and to kind of spread awareness.
Yeah, there's like a purpose and a meaning behind it. But in terms of with your family, did you ever feel like you had to keep your relationship private or secret from them as well? Like, in, you know, when you first start dating someone, you don't really want to tell, I personally don't want to tell my whole family, and I just don't tell anyone.
So actually, initially we did keep it just between ourselves and our friends,
especially for the first few months, quite a few months we kind of,
and I think that's perfectly okay, because you don't want to, first of all, you don't want to excite your parents, because the first thing they're thinking is marriage. Can we get married? Can we meet them? And you know, we're still getting to know each other. We're still going on dates. There's still all this.
We're getting to learn more about each other. Yeah. It's still very early stages of a relationship.
And that's what we did. We basically just took it very naturally. We never pressured ourselves into anything. We just
And we kept our relationship very sacred to us.
Yeah,
it's really important.
Yeah, because I feel like nowadays it's so easy to go to XYZ person and be like, oh, you know, so and so, I don't know what to do about this. Or we would just talk it out between us.
Yeah,
rather than trying to get other people going, oh, what do you think I should do about this?
You build a better relationship between the two of you if you can figure things out together. But but what you just said about when you tell people and they instantly start asking, like, are you going to get married? I feel the same thing. Like, if I ever have a first date, and I tell my mum, like, if I'm going on a first date, and she's just like, oh, okay, so, you know, where are they from? What do they do? Where are their parents? I don't know. I've not even got to the date. I'm like, relax. Like, why am I going to, in my chat, ask what his parents do? Like,
well, sometimes it's like, what village are you from?
Where are they from? Is his family nice? I don't know. Like, I've not even met him, let alone his family. Like, what? And you just feel like, oh my god. And so many times when I've come back from a first date and I'm my mom, how was it? Like literally beaming. Like, how was it? How was it? So excited. Hoping I'll tell her that, oh my God, mom, he's the man I want to marry. And every time I'm like, nah. Yeah. And she's just like, oh no. Okay. Better luck next time. And it's just, oh my God. Like I constantly feel like the first day I need to figure out whether do I like him enough to marry him? It's just, it's intense.
Yeah. We got together at such a, like, I feel like dinosaur times where there were no apps.
Was this before Tinder?
Yeah, this was when like everything was popping. Like that was the only place.
Can I just bring one thing up?
Yeah.
When we first got together, we went to a jewelry shop.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. That wasn't when we. You were saying that like it's like the first week. No, it was like within the first year.
First month, no.
Oh my God.
So we went into this jewelry shop. And she was picking out the perfect ideal ring then. And I was
As you do.
If you're in a jewelry shop.
So I literally took.
I didn't look at earrings. I took mental note.
But the funniest thing was, right, obviously we'd just gone together. I'd just finished university and I was looking for a job. And she picked the most expensive ring.
I didn't
ring.
Even look at the price.
I love that. That is something I would do.
I really like this one. I'm like, what about that one over there?
And you're looking at the price, like shitting yourself inside, like, oh my God. Like, I don't.
So, you know, when we do eventually get married, I better have saved up.
Yeah. I feel like we got together, but. Like, I knew I wanted to get married. You knew you wanted to get married. But it wasn't, when we got together, it wasn't the thing that we thought about.
I think unconsciously you think, like, I'm dating because I want a future.
Yeah.
You're not straight away thinking marriage. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is you want to find someone, not for maybe just the sake of it, although there's nothing wrong with it. And I think sometimes it's nice to just, you know, because you learn about what you kind of want in someone.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if you just go through a dating phase, that's quite fun too.
But I suppose for us, it was our kind of underlying intent, especially because we'd done all the dating. I'd, you know, not had many successful kind of relationships. So like Koshal, for me, was my first serious, and obviously the last serious relationship. I wanted longevity. And when I actually met her, I had told myself that I wasn't going to get in any relationships whatsoever. And then obviously,
I found
Koshal. And you know,
I feel like for guys, it's like when you like guys make their mind up when they want to settle down, they want to settle down, or when they want to mess around or like date loads of people, then they're literally either one.
Well, I had told myself that, like, I don't think it was naturally me, but I told myself like, oh, I should mess around. And this was all because I had, like, you know, unpleasant experiences in the past.
Right.
But then at the same time, I just loved getting to know that Koshal on a deeper level. And that was me. I desired that connection, that emotional, spiritual, mental kind of connection as well. So, you know, I didn't really have to go around like messing around, because I'd find it, and it happened so naturally. And I think
that was the really nice thing about the way we got together. It wasn't, there was no forceful anything.
And I'm not going to say to myself, look, I shouldn't be in a relationship, so I'm not going to get in one. It felt good. It felt natural. Yeah. And we just gravitated towards each other.
You just went with it. But guys, funny question, right? If you didn't find each other, then was there any chance that you could have got an arranged marriage?
Not me.
I don't think so, no.
Really? Okay, how come?
I'm so, with my views, like, I've literally been, I was always not, I'm not rebellious in that sense, whereas I'd start doing all kinds of, like, you know, strange stuff I'm not supposed to, or like criminal activities. But I'm very, I believe in what I believe. And I believe in kind of working from a place that feels good to me. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why I'm doing what I do now. And I never really wanted an arranged marriage. Like, I'd be open back then, right? If I hadn't met Koshal, I would have been open to like meeting people someone introduced me to.
I feel like arranged marriage nowadays
isn't necessarily like you two are getting married.
It's like, I know, you know, I feel like it's, you know, like your mum kind of, I know of so-and-so who's got a daughter, and it's more arranged in that sense rather than,
it's
like,
more like an introduction, I think.
How do you feel about arranged marriages? So if that was the case, would you have been open to it? Or
I think, like, Okay, so I think if I was getting close to my 30s and my mom went, look, there's this guy, I'd been like, okay, fine. I think I would have, it would have been to the point where I was like, I can't find anyone myself.
Yeah.
Can help me. I think that would have been, and I think for me, like my mom and dad arranged marriage. My brother loved marriage. So I had the kind of like,
yeah.
So I suppose I would be open to my mom kind of going, okay, look, there's so-and-so.
Hmm.
I probably wouldn't say.
I suppose how it comes across as well, because sometimes it's like, oh, there's this guy or girl, you know, he's a doctor.
Okay,
she's this,
that.
And it's the wrong.
Every time.
It's the wrong selling points. It's almost like, let's judge them based on their career and everything
on
else.
On their bio data.
And then, yeah, it's called a bio data.
Literally.
And then a picture as well. But if it's like, oh, you know, there's this person, they're a really like, you know, loving, kind, caring. I know this is never going to happen, to be honest.
Yeah.
But they're a really loving, kind, caring person. And, you know, they're doing this for the world. It depends what your values are, I suppose.
That would never happen. That
would never happen. Yeah. It would never happen. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm, like, obviously getting closer to my 30s. And, oh, my God, I can't even tell you the amount of times my dad or my mum has said, what about if we, you know, what if we introduce you to someone? No. Hell to the no. And it will always be like, this person's a doctor or this, that, the other. And I just, I've actually had so many conversations and I've got quite pissed off about it a few times because I'm like, I don't give a shit how much money they earn. Like, because it shouldn't be about, if you're telling me, if that's the first piece of information you're telling me, I've switched off. Yeah. Like, yeah. It shouldn't be about
that. I think
that.
It's how it comes across, which makes you switch off, because that person could be your ideal person. Like, they could be a great person, but yeah. It's the way that they're selling the person, yeah. Right? And it makes you switch off straight away.
Yeah, and it makes you think, I mean, their parent who's introduced them to my parent, is that how they're selling their child as well?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is that what's important to them too?
Yeah.
Because if that is, and all of it is really messed up, and I don't want to be involved with the whole family.
if that's how they're promoting them, they're judging you based off that same
off that
scale.
Same. Mm. Money is just energy. It can come and go. Like,
yeah.
What we look for in our relationship is happiness.
Right.
That's the basis of our relationship, right? Like one of the key basis of it.
Happiness, connection.
Yeah. Like those are the things that really matter.
Yeah,
not the material.
And even now, like our relationships evolved. So now, together, like we want to be more purposeful in our lives together as a couple.
Right.
It's so weird because I don't see myself doing things alone. I always see it with you.
Like, yeah, and it's almost like you're just your reunion.
Don't make me cry.
Without sounding cheesy or anything, but you do think of yourself as one.
Yeah,
now, right?
Yeah.
It's just like it's a union.
Although we have our time alone and we do things alone and we
that's just, you know, healthy boundaries in relationships.
Yeah.
It's important to have time by yourself, with your friends, with other people. But you know, at the back of your mind, the other person's always kind of there.
Yeah, always there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it should be. And another conversation I've had with my dad before is, you know, what if I meet someone and they haven't got any money today, but they're a great person, we have a great connection, you know, like you guys, and you know, you're just mentally there and you build something together. You know, we're still young. Some people don't make it in their careers much later in their life, in their 40s, and you know, sometimes something just flips and all of a sudden you're a millionaire kind of thing. I mean, that's the extreme, but you just never know. And I think, like, basing being with someone on money is just a really shallow kind of thing to do, and I feel like that's really, really important within Asian culture.
Massively. I think what you touched on is really good, actually, because I think there's a lot of people with ambition, right? Mm. To do better for themselves and better for the world and add value. And when I first met Koshal, like, neither of us had money. I was in my last year of university, struggling as a student, as a lot of students do.
Mm.
And
you
were still in university as well. I didn't come from a, you know, financially like affluent kind of background. But I always said to her, and I remember our early conversations, do you remember on MSN?
Yeah.
I said to her, I said, in 10 years, our life's going to look completely different. You know, I'm hoping there's a vision for a much better future. But don't let any of that phase us, because, you know, what we have here, this love and our family and friends, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So we had this vision together. And I suppose that's really important as well, having this vision and then staying committed to it throughout.
Yeah.
I feel like in our culture, there's this equation of money equals happiness.
100%.
Like if my daughter is married off into a very wealthy family, that she'll be happy.
Right.
That's never guaranteed. Like happiness like and that is never guaranteed.
You're saying almost like a good person looks like a person that's wealthy. But what about that person that doesn't have much money, but that's helping feed the poor? Is that person not a good person? Is that a bad person? Right. You're writing a lot of people out by your expectations and your list of requirements.
If a person doesn't matter how much money they have, but it's the amount of love that they're going to give.
Their heart. What about the capacity that they hold in their heart? Like we're looking at the wrong, or we have looked at the wrong things, I feel like.
Yeah,
definitely. But I feel like that's just, it's even harder, like, you know, to bring a guy to your family because you're also thinking, oh my God, what if he's not from an affluent background? Are my family going to accept him? And it's just an added pressure. That's not really fair.
It's unfortunate, I think, that especially because you have to then suddenly you're not just thinking about you dating them. It's almost like your whole family's dating them because
which is the case regardless, I think. Like I remember when I kept saying, "Oh, when do you want to meet my mom?" And you were like, "When the time is right, when I feel like it's the right time to meet your family, I'll meet your family." And I was very open to meeting your side of the family. So that's how we played things. It wasn't like, "Oh, well, I've met the whole of your family, you need to meet the whole of my family." We kind of made sure as people we were ready.
When I had met her mum, I ticked a lot of boxes according to this timeline. You know, I was in an amazing job, you know, I was on a good salary, I had great career prospects, I was doing several things at once. And then I decided to give it all up and do what I do now. And then it's just almost like, wait, what does he do? And then, you know, you start getting all these labels.
Yeah.
We
both did the same thing around the same time.
But fortunately, like, her family were very understanding. Like, you know, they never held it against me. And the same with my family. Like, I think we were fortunate. And not everyone's lucky enough sometimes to have that support around them.
Definitely.
And have that understanding. So we've kind of had it good, right?
I think I count my blessings every night, man. We've had it really, really good. We were really lucky.
But they did like question like, well, how are you going to make a career? How does this thing work? You know, like I'd go into like to weddings and people would be like, what do you do? And this is when I was like a systems analyst. And they were like, oh, it's really good. I'm so proud of you. Stick with it almost. Because I would talk about, I used to do music production as well, and people would almost not be fazed about the music production. Even though I was working with, like, you know, quite a few, like, established acts in the UK and US, but they were more concerned with my kind of corporate job. They're like, stick with it. And then I remember when I left all of that, and I started up a few businesses, and I remember meeting an uncle, and I was next to my cousin, who's a pharmacist, and as soon as I told him what I did, he literally turned his shoulders to me. He switched off. And then he just like, you know, opened his arms to my cousin. And then he brought his son over. And he was just like, oh, this is my son. He's about to go to university, but he doesn't know if he should become a doctor or a dentist. What do you think he should do? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you're asking my cousin, who's a pharmacist, to decide your son's future. And you've given him two options. And the son was just like, he had his head down. He's like, yeah, I'm not sure. Like what I should do, what pays better, like, you know. And I was just like, God, this is what's kind of wrong. And he, like, you know, he literally, the guy, and I didn't take it too personally, but I noticed it. Like he switched, he turned his whole body language, he turned his whole body away from me. He wasn't interested in speaking to me, getting to know me, knowing more about me. Then what happened was I was standing somewhere else and I was next to my friend who didn't actually go to university. He went straight to a job. After GCSEs, and this uncle like said hello to us, and he knew who we were from our parents. And then to my friend, he said, "Oh, you're the one that didn't go on to study," and he shook his head and walked off.
What?
And I could tell that it made my friend feel bad, and I was just like, "This isn't right." And then I just tried to make like a really bad joke to try and, but I could just tell, like, it just knocked his confidence. It was like a punch to the stomach. And I was just like, you can't say stuff like that. It's not the person that has feelings, right?
Yeah.
And he's not a failure. He's got more money than a lot of people at that time because, you know, he went on and he worked. But
right,
this whole perception thing judging
people. I feel like sometimes the Asian community can measure success on a different scale to how we, the generation now, measure success.
But we know, we all know this, right? It's like, it's deep within us that the greatest success is just being happy. Because then you don't care what other people think of you. You don't care about the small things because you're happy.
Right. And when those like aunties and uncles see you with your head held high and you're just happy doing your own thing, that's when they keep it stum, you know? That's when they don't know what to say, because they can see they can't knock you down because of your confidence, which is actually a great thing. So
we teach our mums now. Like my mum the other day was good, because my mum's living at our house at the moment, because she's, instead of being alone in her house, she lives out here. And I was like, come live here. You're going to go drive yourself nuts by yourself. Yeah. So she's been here for a couple of, maybe a couple of months now.
Yeah,
a couple of months. And she, the other week, was like, I think I'm going to go home now. And I was like, what are you going to do at home? And she was like, bus, I'm just going to go home. Everyone's going to be talking about me. That look at her. She's living at her daughter's and son's, son-in-law's house. She got nothing better to do. And I had to sit there with her and kind of tell her, like, if people are thinking like that, they are not happy in their lives.
Yeah. And also, what is wrong with living, like, your daughter, your own daughter and son-in-law have taken you in just so that you, you know, because of something positive, because they don't want you to feel lonely during lockdown and all of that. Like, what's the big deal?
And it's weird that the tables have, in certain senses, have shifted in the sense that we have to teach them to be like, don't worry about
other people. We're literally always lecturing them, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh my God.
But not in a way that's patronizing, just to make them understand. I think this is how it starts. I think it's, you have to question stuff.
Yeah.
Because people 100%. Have blindly followed beliefs and they've never questioned them. It's like even little cultural things. You do stuff and then you never ask why you have to do those things. And it's just like, start asking the questions. Because when you ask the questions, you seek understanding. You look for answers.
I'm often, I mean, I ask the questions and I'm often left more confused and more frustrated, because I think sometimes they don't even have answers and they don't understand. You're just like, tell me a good reason why this is like this. And they just can't. And I get more annoyed because I'm like, no, I need to understand, you know, why I can't do something. You know, it just, I need a good reason, because if you're telling, if there's a good reason why I can't do something, then I won't. But if it's just because, oh, that's just how we do things in our culture. No. Things have changed. It's not how it works around here. But it's good that we can now have these conversations with our parents and educate them, like, finally. And hopefully they are listening as well.
I think, I think if your parents are listening, I think you just have to be very grateful for that, because I know a lot of people that reach out to me that I can't almost, you know, express their point to their parents without getting some kind of getting into some kind of conflict. And it makes it very difficult. But I think the more conversations we have, and I think the more this awareness spreads, then the more people will be willing to listen, maybe.
I think sometimes, like, with this whole, like, Instagram, social media culture, Amazon Prime, we get things like this. Like, you want something, you got it. You want something, you got it.
I think we instant.
And it's like, I think we all need to remember that our parents, aunties, uncles, like, this is, like, normal for them. Yeah. And for us to open their eyes and get them to think in a different way can take time.
I think we have to almost like meet in the middle in terms of, we have to also understand them, like, why do they think the way they think, so they can challenge us. If we're going to challenge them, they can challenge us, and that's fine. I think having the conversations and listening to them, and also remembering that this has been conditioned in them for years, so don't expect them to drop a belief system overnight, right?
It takes
education, it takes awareness, it takes reflection. So, you know, have these conversations, but go in with, like, a good open heart and a willingness to understand them. Because if you want to be understood, you need to make sure that you want to understand them as well.
Yeah, definitely. But this is why I expect decent answers when I'm asking the questions, because if they don't understand, then I don't understand.
And then you can question them. Then you can be like, so you followed a belief and you don't really know why you're following it. Do you think there's a problem with that?
Right, exactly. It's just a vicious cycle. But I just want to go back to your wedding, guys, which, by the way, looked amazing. And yeah, it just was beautiful. You looked beautiful, both of you as well. But did you, because everyone saw how beautiful it was, did you feel like there were any kind of outside pressures from people that affected your overall experience or the journey leading up to it? And when I mean outside pressures, I mean other family members, because I know from like my sister's weddings, everything was lovely on the day and everything was beautiful. But then you get, you know, the people that have come that just want to gossip, or the people that come that they want more importance than they need, or they just want to leave a sour taste to something that is so lovely. Do you know what I mean?
You know what's funny is I was shopping and this auntie came to me.
Okay.
And she said, oh, she goes, oh, you're getting married in Mexico. I was just like, yeah. And she goes, you haven't invited me. And I was just like,
ooh.
Oh, this is awkward. And then she goes, I would have come as well. And I was just like, I haven't spoken to you in 10 years. And it's not, you know, we were limited on numbers, yeah. But that's why we wanted the nearest and dearest that we knew wouldn't gossip.
Right.
I think that's how we came around all of that in a very nice way, I think. Because as in, I don't even know the word for it, but like in the way that we knew we just wanted the people who was in our phone books.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. Like, I, you know, obviously a wedding's never going to go perfectly, but if there's anything that gets close to perfection in terms of like the way it was run and also the people that were there, our wedding felt like that because everyone was so close. Like, even though like, I'm not on WhatsApp anymore, but we've even got a WhatsApp group with everyone from the wedding and we just keep in touch, like everyone connected.
I love that.
These were people that are our friends that we trusted. That know how to have a good time and just enjoy themselves and respected our rules as well, because we didn't have social media at the no social media at the wedding, no phones.
God, I think my family would absolutely lose their shit with that rule.
You should have heard my mum. What if I want to take a picture for me? I said, you can take a picture for you, but just don't post it anywhere.
And don't bring your phone to the events.
Don't bring your phone to any of the events. But we were, I think we were really lucky in the sense that I'm really, really fortunate that we turned around to our mums and we said, look, we are in the position where we're happy and can afford to pay for the wedding ourselves. So we don't need any help from you guys. We just want you guys to make sure you got your nice outfit sorted.
Yeah.
And be there with us. So we were really lucky in that sense. And then when they would turn around and say, well, what about, are you adding this into the ceremony? Are you going to do this as well? So that's when we would turn around and be like, we don't have the budget for that. If you guys want to
chip in
some budget and chip it, and then they'd be like, yeah, no, it's fine, we've already got all of our other kids are married, you two just do whatever you want. So we were really lucky in that sense that we were the last two to get married in our siblings, and so we had a kind of had like the kind of you do whatever you want from our mums.
We throw our own spin on stuff,
everything.
Like, we even had like a whole Latin night, which was amazing, and we like
and all the aunties and uncles were like, oh,
and they loved it as well. Yeah, they loved it as well, and the drums, the water had, drums, and it was just amazing.
It was really. I mean, we kind of wanted to get around this whole having a small intimate wedding by doing it abroad.
Yes,
it was. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
My sister got married in Goa, and it was like the most amazing wedding. But when I met Kosha and we were actually talking about the future, we both said that if, you know, or when we get married, we'd love to do it abroad. And our mums were on board straight away.
My mum was like, you do, I do on the beach, I'll be there. That's like, it's like, yes, go ahead, let's
and
do it.
And you know what was very nice is that, you know, we got married all the way in Mexico, which is like 11 hours away on a plane. And, you know, it can get pricey.
Yeah.
And everything. And everyone, you know, paid and made their own way there.
Yeah, so thankful for that.
God, I feel like you guys got so lucky because like in my family, for example, my elder sister, she had it rough, man, because she's the eldest. So like, you know, my mum and dad were just trial and error with her for everything. So even her wedding, she had like 700 people, which is not it's not how she wanted it whatsoever. And she almost felt like she had no choice, like no choices.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of guests, and even like now with my brother's wedding, we've questioned so many times. We're like, Dad, why does, you know, this person's plumber and that person, do you know what I mean? Like, why are they on the list? Yeah. Do they even know your son's name? Do they?
Have you ever gone to a wedding and someone says, oh, hello, how are you? Do you know who I am?
And you're like, yeah.
That happened to me. I went to my cousin's wedding in India in December and it was so awkward because there were about 4 different aunties that, and luckily I was with my brother, so I had like had his hand to hold when they were like, do you remember me? Do you know who I am? And we were just like, yes, of course. Yeah. I turn around like, who?
But sometimes they test you. They're like, oh, so what's my name?
Yeah.
What's my name?
Yeah, or they'll tell you a story. They remember, like, do you remember when you were younger, this happened, and then, and you're like, sorry, I can't speak very good Punjabi. Yeah, it's the worst. But guys, in terms of like the timeline of life and marriage and all of that, normally after you get married, your next step is generally dog and then kids. Yeah. 100% dog first. Like, I'm totally with that. But you guys have actually mentioned and made it really clear and obvious on your socials and spoken openly about the fact that you don't actually want children. So like, how did your family react to that? Have they been understanding?
At first, I think the mums just thought we were just playing a joke on them.
Even now, they tease us. Someone out of us two is a little bit more easily triggered when they joke.
Yeah. When they joke around me, I'm like, guys, we've told you this before we got married. Why are you still asking us?
I take it as the joke. But, you know, like, it's just, I honestly, when I was younger, I wanted kids and I was just like, I wanted kids and, you know, we want to have them young if we can and all this stuff. And I don't know where that came from, but, you know, I want to be best friends with my kids.
Yeah.
And that is nice and that's amazing.
And our siblings, like, we have so many nieces and nephews, like, yeah. And it's so beautiful, their relationship and all of that.
But I think a lot of the time people want kids, but they're not ready to be parents. And I know you can say that you can never be ready for, you know, being a parent. But I think you do feel like there's a certain place in your life where you think that you're ready to take that next step. The same with marriage, because you're never really ready for what marriage brings you, but you can be ready in a state of mind almost to be open to, you know, marriage. But we you know, our nieces and nephews, we love them, but we love giving them back.
Oh my God, it's the best thing, isn't it? Just, oh yeah, I love you, but now you are annoying. Goodbye.
Or when they're crying and you don't know what you're doing, you're like, here you go.
And I think we're quite selfish with what we do in terms of our careers and what we want to do in terms of, like, the world, how we want to help people. Like, there's a lot of time and energy we want to put into certain projects and certain things. And, you know, this probably will come across a little bit selfish, but, you know, we want to put all our time and energy into those things. And I think it would be actually more selfish to have a kid for the sake of having a kid, right? When we're traveling and doing certain things, right? So for us, our kid is Tupac, our dog. One other thing that I wanted to add is that when I was younger, I never even would consider adopting a child, right? I thought, you know, it's not me, it's not my DNA. You know, how could I love another child?
Yeah, my cousins and that, they mentioned that, it's really hard, you know, to adopt. And it's like, it's really hard to have your own child as well. Like, forget.
I can imagine it would be. But, you know, there's so many kids in the world without parents. So if you do decide to change, you know, kind of unmarried or what we do in the future, then, you know, we'd consider adopting and giving a home to children that need a home, that aren't fortunate enough to have that love from parents. Because, you know, we look at all kinds of kids. I mean, you know, we see love in their eyes. We see their innocence. But, you know, we personally just don't want to be parents.
That's fair.
And if things change in the future, then they'll change. But right now, you know, we don't want kids.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
That's, but I actually agree. I've had this debate so many times with people before that, like, because I'm quite maternal, but I'm also really like, no. I'm like, I like my own life. But
literally, because you're a Leo, right?
Virgo, I'm close. Okay. I'm literally on the.
So I feel like we're very similar, Angel, you and I.
We are.
It's I'm
sensing similar energy. Yeah. Just saying.
I just feel like. Me as a person, I love just getting up and at it and just be like, oh, I'm going to go do this today. Yeah. And obviously it's like, two-pack now is very difficult to, not very difficult to do that. My mum's like, I'll be your dog sitter. Oh, I love him. Yeah. She's very much so like on hand.
Two-pack, especially early on, he was challenging, yeah. Right?
Like, oh my God. I think after... When we got
dogs are babies. Dogs are babies. I think feel like people need to like understand that because they are children. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Like the whole of December and January, we were like, good job we're not having kids because dogs are hard work, right?
Yeah.
And that again like solidified the whole like we're quite happy with us two having our goals that we have as a couple and as individuals, whereas it's just not fair to bring a child into the world.
Yeah.
And we watched this movie called Lion years ago.
I think I've seen it.
With Dev Patel.
Yes.
And it wasn't until we watched that movie that we kind of went, do you know what? If we ever, ever decide or think, actually, we do want kids, we would definitely go down the adoption route. And it was that movie that really inspired us to look into that. And that... You know, we can give love to a child who's already on this earth.
And there's so many kids that are suffering, like, you know, they're in like the slave trade almost. Yeah. There's child sex trafficking that goes on in the world. These kids are living like the worst imagined nightmares. So if you can actually give them a future, give them a life, a better way of living, then, you know, that in itself is so powerful. Mm.
That option is still there. And I completely agree. Like, I feel like it is more selfish to bring a child into this world if you can't be 100% for that child, or you know, you can't give it the life that you want.
It's a 24/7 job.
It's a responsibility. It's huge.
Up until you die, literally. Like, and you're like right now, like I will go to my mom or like whoever, like whenever I need anything or need advice, and she can't be like, look, you're married now.
Your lifestyle's going to change. Your priorities are going to change. Like, I'm, you know, working on my next book at the moment, and you know, when I'm working on it, I'm like, you know, isolated, just, you know, like in a zone.
I can't even be like, and I'm deep in thought.
Yeah, so anything like that, it just throws me off.
Yeah, I hear that.
But like, you know, if you had a child, like even with Tupac, sometimes it's like, oh no, I need to take him out for a wee or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still looking over him, and if we had a child, they'd also be, you know, looking after the child, and
I mean, nappies, crying,
that, and losing sleep and not being maybe in the, you know.
I think right now what we've realized is working with various charities, especially ones which help children, that's given us so much fulfillment within our hearts and within our minds. Like, we're like, to having kids right now, especially right now, it's just not in our...
Like I said, things might change, and they could change, and you know, a baby might just bless our lives in the future. Yeah. But you know, right now, actively, we've made a choice, not to have.
And that's fair enough. But do you feel like there are some like extended family members that? Because I feel like if that was me and my family, I would have a lot of my extended family members questioning if there's something wrong with me, why I don't want to, and, you know, that's not good enough.
They will. I think people naturally will. There'll be people that you don't even know that are going to be doing it. And are they having fertility issues? All kinds of stuff. We might be, we might not be. Like, you know what I mean? There's all kinds of stuff that might be going on, but at the end of the day, it's between us. That decision, it's going to be our child, not everyone else's child.
That's another thing. Like, you know, you get family members asking, why aren't you having kids? And like, they're very insensitive to somebody's situation. And like you said, someone might be going through infertility issues and all of that, and they might not want to tell you. They might not want to open up. And it's just very insensitive, these questions. You just need to let people be.
Yeah.
I think it's just that mentality of like, everyone just like loves to be in our culture. It's very much like everyone is in everyone's business, and everyone is in everyone's, not so much, I think our generation is very, very different, but like our generation is very much do you hear what so-and-so has done? Do you hear like,
the thing is, even in this generation, we still have this focus of focusing on other people's lives rather than looking at our own life and improving our own life and living to our fullest potential. And I think if we just did that and just remember to be a kind, caring, compassionate human being, then a lot of these questions wouldn't be around, the judgments wouldn't be around, and people would live much healthier lives, I think.
Yeah,
it's massively, so true. Massively. It's so true.
It's really funny because when before we got married, we kind of told our mums, because both of our dads have passed away.
Yeah. So
we told our mums, like, look, this is the deal, just FYI. And at first it was like, what do you mean? Like, your life's incomplete if you don't have kids. Like, that was the kind of mentality. And it's really weird now. I've heard mums speak on the phone to a lot of people on the phone. They're like, oh, you know, yeah, my son and daughter-in-law, they're both settled and whatnot. And then she'll go, no, 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 they don't want kids. Nah, they're happy. And their whole, like, perspective has shifted. And it's really, like, again, I think we're so lucky that our mums have understood now that we don't want kids, and it's fine to not want kids. It's not, that doesn't mean that your life, it has no purpose or it has no meaning.
I love that. Funny,
but we get to give so much love and have so much fun with our nieces and nephews.
If we go, like, right back to the start of the conversation, we said that their purpose in their life was their kids, so they're thinking that maybe our purpose is kids, right?
Yeah,
but it doesn't always work that way.
Bex, I just want to speak to you about the fact that you are, first of all, an amazing author. I absolutely love your book. But in your book, you mentioned that family members not always wanting the best for you, but you also said that it's best to kind of speak to them about it, because sometimes they can be oblivious to their actions or how they've said things. But what do you do if, you know, you've spoken to them and that family member doesn't want to change? And how do you deal with family members that are close and don't want to improve the relationship?
I think the key for this is just having boundaries in your life. So when people hear boundaries, they're like, oh, boundaries are a negative thing, but they're not actually, because they don't necessarily mean that you cut people out of your life.
Yeah.
They actually mean the opposite, because you're trying to keep people in your life while maintaining your peace and well-being. So a boundary is basically an assertive statement that imposes a limit, which, if people overstep, has consequences, right? Mm. So if you're living with someone, for example, that puts you down quite a bit, for example, so it could be someone, you know, that's a little bit abusive in terms of maybe their language.
Mentally.
And it could be a parent. You could decide that you want to spend only 20 minutes a day maybe in their presence and hold that boundary, and also communicate that boundary to them and say that, you know, if you don't, you know, if you overstep that boundary in any way, or if you start being mean to me, then, you know, I'm going to have whatever consequence it is. If people constantly disrespect your boundaries and abuse you, then what is the solution? And the solution, unfortunately, is that you would have to part ways, because at the end of the day, we don't exist to suffer at the hands of other people, right? And if someone's constantly putting you down and constantly hurting you, there's only so much someone could take until it really, really affects their mental health. And whatever affects your mental health will then actually start showing up in your physical health as well.
Exactly. It's like, where do you draw the line between keeping the peace and, you know, doing something for your own, like, mental sanity kind of thing?
Yeah, always kindly communicate your boundaries. Explain to people why you have these boundaries in place, and, you know, they're to protect your time, your energy and your peace. But hold people accountable. If they don't respect your boundaries, then keep the consequences in place and stick to the consequences as well. Remember, those boundaries are for you.
This is something I'm currently going through and struggling with at the moment, so I feel like everything you're saying is, like, really resonating with me, because I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm setting boundaries, but I've set the boundary so far that it's like
know what, it's very common, it's probably common with a lot of, like, cultures and communities, but I know it's extremely common with kind of the Asian communities, where people are living with maybe parents or mother-in-laws or whoever they might be that are constantly putting them down. And that's why boundaries are really important. But sometimes we keep people in our lives because we feel like we must, due to the relation.
This is
But, you know, blood doesn't bind you to people, I think. You can have, you know, your friends which feel more like family than the family members themselves. If a family member is constantly putting you down and constantly disrespecting you, how much love do they actually have to give you?
Right.
How much value are they actually adding to your life? Are they empowering you to become the best version of yourself? Or are they constantly triggering you and putting you down? And you can say, yeah, you just need to grow through it. But actually, you grow when you separate yourself from the situation and you reflect on things.
100%. That's like that. Like that's currently like me right now. I won't go into my situation, but yeah, I feel like since I've set a strong boundary and I've kind of separated myself from it, I feel, even though I'm sat in the middle of it, I feel better anyway, because I'm just like, I'm me and I'm gonna do me.
Yeah.
And you do you, whether it's positive, negative, whatever it is, you do it over there and I'm here. But that's really great advice. So
I think it's I think some people, like, if they don't see a problem with the way they're behaving, they're not going to change, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just have to accept that. If we can accept that while holding peace in our mind, then that's great. But if we can't, and if that actually drains us or hurts us or exhausts us in any kind of way, then we hold the boundary, or we create that permanent distance from them and maybe try and love them from afar.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like, you know, in just in general with Asian families as well, I feel like in my family, we've kind of, as siblings, we always set a boundary as like, okay, we'll go to the event, but we'll go for like just a few hours,
yeah,
and then we'll leave. Because that's the boundary. Because after that, we're going to get annoyed that we're there for too long. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, some cousin is going to say something and I just don't want to be there for it. So,
in a weird way, I feel like everyone feels like that half the time, like going to events. Like, we go there, show face, do our thing, and then
have some food. Have some food and then go.
Exactly. And that's a way of dealing with people. And it's a boundary.
Yeah,
and you just, it's your way of keeping yourself happy, and you know you're just, it's a good balance for everybody, because it's like you've shown face, you've done the right thing for everybody else, but you're also taking into consideration your own feelings and
because you're the only person that's going to be
I think it's a very good example of a boundary.
Really good.
Yeah.
I've got two last questions for you guys, and then we're going to play a quick game.
Okay.
Amazing.
What message would you send for anyone that is feeling the pressure to get married or dealing with toxic family members?
I'll do the marriage one.
Okay.
If anyone out there who is struggling with the whole marriage situation and feeling like they're too old or too young or whatever it may be, I think one of the things that is so easy to do is to try not to compare yourself to other people, because everyone is on a different journey. Yeah. And let's face it, like, I think we're sold this dream of like, you get married and it's happily ever after. It's not always like that. It might not be the right path for you. There may be your Prince Charming waiting for you, who's going to find you when the timing is right. Yeah. I massively, massively believe in divine timing. Yeah. And I always try and leave things to that. Like, people say to me, oh, what's your plans in the next year? Or like, what are you gonna do? I'm just going to go with the flow. I feel like
that is literally me. We're the same. Actually, I don't make plans because I'm like, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think if anyone is out there struggling with this whole feeling like this pressure of getting married, is spend more time with yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the longest relationship you're ever going to have. And you've got to make sure that you are, you know, giving yourself that self-love that you deserve. And I feel like once you're vibrating at a level where things are just happy for you, someone will come into your life, and things will fall into place.
I think when you love yourself, you'll find someone that loves you as much as the love that you've shown your kind of self.
Yeah.
I think you have to stay true to yourself at all times. You know what's best for you. Other people can't tell you what's best for you. But one of the, I know we've given like five pieces of advice here, but one thing that I really wanted to stress is that don't hold too many expectations, especially expectations that you're not meeting yourself, because then obviously you're contradicting yourself. But I think a lot of times we expect certain things from people, and it's okay to know what you like and who you're attracted to. But as soon as you put limits on love, you stop certain people reaching you.
Yeah. And amen.
They could be a perfect, you know, person for you. Someone that's, you know, incredible, that's going to enhance your life. But because you've put this limit here in place.
He needs to be 6 foot tall, whatever it
is. Yeah. He needs to drive. He needs to have this car, own a house. Like, do you own a house? Do you, you know, like, are you there?
Yeah, are you perfect? No, none of that, right? So, yeah, don't hold those kind of...
Yours was better than mine.
No,
I just know they were great. They're both.
I also just realized that I said one of the easiest things you can do is just not compare yourself. That's one of the hardest things you can do. But with self love, it can become so much easier.
I think self love's the key. Yeah. I think self love's the key to all of it.
How would you, just speaking on self love quickly, how, like, it's really easy to say love yourself. How do you love yourself? Like,
there's this book.
First of all, read your book.
Self-love is just meeting your needs, things that make you feel good. I always say that self-love is the balance between accepting yourself and knowing you deserve better and then working towards it. So it's between accepting yourself and taking action to become the best version of yourself. So it's not about just staying still and being like, this is me and I accept myself. It's also knowing...
It's not like a love it or leave it kind of thing. It's like, how can I be a better...
Yeah, how can I be a better human being?
Yeah,
and what can I do? Anything, any activity, if it's a self-care activity or any way of handling your relationships, whether it's, you know, I don't like to use the word toxic and I know I've used it in my book, but whether it's an unhealthy relationship and if you need to manage that, then it's all these things, managing your relationships, managing, having self-care activities, even going after your goals and living with some kind of purpose. All these things contribute to self-love.
Definitely.
Not that I'm trying to promote my book, but this is something...
I am.
But you know what? It's a term that a lot of people keep using, love yourself, but no one really understands how you actually love yourself. And this is something that I wanted to really kind of put out in the world. And that's why I wrote the book. To show people like there is a way to love yourself, and here's maybe a really kind of clear-cut manual to it.
It is a very clear-cut manual. Everyone should read it.
Thank you.
Lastly, what message would you send to the talking aunties or family members that are putting pressure on young girls or guys that are just trying to live their best lives?
I think if you're talking, you're not learning. You're dictating conversations, you're not listening, you're not understanding, because all you want to do is get your point across. So I think for any aunties, and I think first of all, forgive yourself if you've ever held a belief that's in some way harmful to the other generations. But you know, the best kind of way to show the forgiveness or show that you're sorry is to take some kind of action, and that is to start listening now. Start listening to the, you know, the younger generation. We, you know, sometimes we seem like, you know, we're young and naive and maybe we don't get things, but you know, we live through experiences. We know a lot more than you might realize. So just start listening to us, start trying to understand us, our generation, and the things we want to question.
It's true. I feel like our generation now, we're a lot more, I don't know if clued up is the right word to say, but maybe more educated on the world and just general things than maybe they were in their time. So yeah, maybe the aunties need to start listening to some, what we got to say.
Because a lot of things are followed on blind beliefs. And that's why when you ask the question to explain something or why something is done, they don't have the answer because it was followed blindly.
That's so true. Do you have a message?
Yeah, I mean, to the aunties, I think having a real honest conversation with your own kids.
Yeah.
Because I think, especially with this whole like Black Lives Matter movement that's happening at the moment, it's like everything starts at home. Everything starts within your heart. So if you can have open, honest conversations with your kids.
Yeah.
To the point where... have I done anything that's hindered you? Is there anything else that you like doing that I hindered? Or like, is there any way that I can change or evolve or do things differently that will help your kids or your cousins? Having those open, honest, probably conversations that aren't going to be comfortable.
No.
There's two questions. You know what? It just came to my mind. There's two questions that an auntie maybe could ask her child or children. Is first to ask... do you feel loved? Yeah. And I feel like most kids will say yes, right?
Yeah.
Because although sometimes it doesn't come across, like, you know, with certain actions, you know, there's love in the intent, right? But the second question, and I think this is the question that will kind of catch them, is ask, do you feel supported? Because a lot of children might be like, you know what? I feel loved, but I don't know if I feel supported with my ambitions or with what I want in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that will open up more doors and conversations.
And I think support comes in so many different ways, whether it be in your career, but even your parents supporting your beliefs, you know, like Black Lives Matter, and you even, you know, wanting to educate your parent about that, they should support your conversation kind of thing and wanting to speak to them about that.
Starting off at home and in your hearts, I think that's where the changes can really happen when it comes
It has to start with every single movement that's going on, everything that's happening in our lives. Always the change always starts with us and with those closest to us. So if we, the more conversations we can have and the more education that can occur, then the more kind of change that will take place.
And I think it's also important to as like, let's say us, for example, we have these conversations with our mums. Like if they say something like, oh, did you hear about so-and-so, and I'm like, don't worry about so-and-so. It's always bringing it back and kind of going, don't worry about so-and-so, like, are you happy in your life? Okay, who cares what they're doing? Do you know what I mean?
That's
like
fine.
Bringing it back and having that from our end, because let's face it, like our mums are aunties.
We're aunties.
And do you know what? Our mums now are the ones that are going to their groups and circles and pushing the messages and conversations.
It's so true. So that isn't it so lovely to see when you when you kind of educate your mum about something, like, you know, her being on the phone to someone saying, nah, they don't want kids. But it's so lovely to see that that message has gone through and they're actually passing it on to somebody else.
Yeah.
So definitely start at home, cleanse your hearts. And it's okay to start fresh. It's okay to admit that, you know, yeah, maybe these things that I've said or done in the past weren't right, but I can change. And it's going to take time, but having those conversations, not only as the auntie, but as the kids, having that conversation.
We just need a more loving and understanding, I think, than a world, I suppose. And, you know, I think that's what we just need to remember, all of us, not just the aunties, even ourselves.
Yeah,
definitely. Right, guys, are you ready for your game?
Yeah.
You guys have to decide between you who wants to go first. It's basically a quick fire question. Right. Well, I'm going to say a word. It's word association. I'm going to say a word and you're just going to say the first word that comes to you. So who wants to...
I'll go.
No, you're doing it together, but one that's going to say the word first.
You say the word first, I'll say it after you. No, I'll say the word first. I'm going to go first.
You're going to say the word?
I'm going to say the word first,
Okay,
you're going to say the word first, and then Vex, you're literally right after. You get more time because Kosha's saying her word. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. Aunties.
Saris. They wear saris.
Oh, what? I have to say?
Yeah, no, you have to.
Rex, yours?
Aunties. Oh.
Whatever word that comes to you.
Oh, samosas.
What? I mean, okay. He's hungry.
You always ask me if I want to come round to eat.
That's true.
This is true. Okay. Burfi.
Chocolate.
Tasty.
Weddings.
Dancing!
Fun.
Swear word.
I don't like swearing.
I was going to say negativity, low vibration.
low vibration. Okay, money.
Energy.
Yeah, I was going to say energy as well.
Makeup.
Contour.
I was going to say kosher.
that's
a good answer. Family.
Love.
Oh, I was going to say love as well.
Aren't you guys cute? Chai.
Masala.
Dislike. I don't, yeah, I'm not a chai like person. I'm not a tea or coffee person.
What the? Okay. Dogs.
Teabag.
Friendly.
Last one. Priyanka Chopra.
Ooh, Bollywood. I'm going to keep it safe and say Bollywood.
I was just going to say actress.
Yeah, that one's a bit of a... Yeesh. Yeah. Mixed reviews. Okay, that was really fun. Thank you so much, guys. Can you tell us about any future plans you've got coming up? What can we expect to see from you?
We've got one thing that we're not going to reveal, but we'll just say that there's a thing that's potentially potentially happening. We're doing a bit of work to make this thing happen, hopefully. post quarantine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the first kind of moves will happen. Obviously, for me, there's the second book. I've been given 3 years to write it, but because of quarantine, I've really been getting the work.
You've been banging it out.
Yeah, so I don't know when that's gonna come out, but I think it will be a game changer on many. I'm not going to reveal what the book's about either, but I do feel like
have it.
Yes, well, you know, writing it, I feel like it can change a lot of things.
Yeah,
hopefully.
But let's see. God, I'm excited already. Can we like shorten the time from 3 years to 1.5? Like, you know, I kind of need it now.
I actually do feel like it would have a lot of impact now, but the process just takes so much time. Like, even if I finished it tomorrow, I think by the time it's released, it could be like 1.5 years or something. So
I bet. But I feel like everything you speak about in general is always very relevant, no matter what's going on in the world. Yeah, I feel like everyone always needs some kind of hope and love in their hearts and just good energy. So whenever it does come out, I can't wait.
Do you know what? It's not just me that tries to spread that. I think it's like content creators like yourselves that do that, whether it's on just on the camera and you're just happy, and these conversations, and when you question stuff, you're making people feel comfortable. I think, and the stuff you do resonates with people. You give a voice to people sometimes that can't be heard by speaking about things like this, and I think that makes a change in the world as well. So I think, you know, both of you should give yourselves credit as well for what you do.
Love that. Also, can you just tell everyone where they can find you, what your handles are?
You go, yours is easy.
Mine's easy. Mine's like Vex King on everything. On Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Pinterest, have I missed anything? Facebook, yeah, the lot.
TikTok, oh my God.
The lot.
TikTok, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is just @Koshal on Instagram and Koshal Beauty on YouTube, and I don't use Twitter. And my Facebook is Koshal Beauty as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You have Instagram as well.
Oh, yeah, just Koshal.
Oh, yeah.
And @Tupac the Toy.
I was going to say, what about Tupac's Instagram?
Throw him in there.
@Tupac the Toy. He's been a bit quiet on there recently because
we've been too busy.
Yeah, we've been really busy.
That's okay. He's a busy dog, you know. Yeah, he's a little celebrity dog. Oh my God. And he's been so good during this whole thing, by the way.
I know. He's full on knockout.
It's funny, earlier my hands are down here and he was just licking them.
I love that.
I'm calling, he's not even coming over.
He's like, nah.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
And it's just such a good conversation.
Yeah.
Like, great questions, I think. That we haven't really, like, we have kind of touched on, but not had like an proper, open discussion.
Oh my God, we're at the end of my first ever episode, and I know it's a super long one, but we honestly could have been here all day. Thank you once again to Koshal and Vex for taking the time out to join me for today's episode, and Tupac for being so patient. I really hope you enjoyed the episode, and I can't wait for you to hear what else we have in store. Please do let me know what your thoughts are on some of the topics we covered today by heading over to the What Would the Auntie Say Instagram page, and it would really, really help me out if you could subscribe to my podcast, rate and review. If you would like to see links to anything that I'm talking about, then don't forget to download the Entel app. Thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait for you to join me on the next one.